What would you say to Poles to wake them up to this process that the communists are using to slowly, gradually take away our freedoms?
What Hong Kong have been treated would be the same to Poland. Poland now is still and multidimensional have been affected by the CCP, including telecommunications, 5G networks, schools, infrastructures, and etc. have been gradually influenced by Chinese capital. Every money spent by China in Poland, they have their political hinder agenda. They would exert their political influence after this kind of money. Although they just pretend that it's just business, it's business, politics is politics. But I do hope that Poland could wake up, because Poland has a full history, have been suppressed by the totalitarian regime. So they should be, I mean Poland should be even more cautious, because your guys, your government had experienced why and how suffering of this kind of regime will be.
Good day, dear viewers. My name is Ivan Belostenko. This is Against the Tide TV. Our guest today is Simon Cheng, former UK embassy employee in Hong Kong, who was arrested and accused of spying for foreign powers and tortured by the CCP. Today we'll talk about the situation in Hong Kong and the aftermath following the national security law forced upon Hong Kongers by the CCP. Hello, Simon. It's great to have you back with us again.
Yes, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you all. I'm very pleased to note you and be invited to have this kind of interview.
So tell us, what's your personal situation right now following the national security law and what happened with Jimmy Lai? Are you safe at the moment, or are you in danger? And what is the danger that is posed to you? And is there any warrant for your arrest at the moment?
Well, after national security law, I am still keep the political democracy movement alive, and I can keeping a lot active. So I keep receiving the media interviews, and also I set up several organizations, including Haven System, which is the information sharing platform to share the asylum policies amongst different countries for rescuing my fellowmen, not to be persecuted by the authorities back in our hometown in Hong Kong after the secret police now crossed the border to our hometown in Hong Kong. So I'm also possibly this kind of the idea, and what I has been doing overseas been peace Beijing off. So that's why now the Hong Kong Police Force, the new established National Security Department, attached to this kind of the Hong Kong Police Force, issued a arrest warrant for me, and I've been put on the warrant list now. So they accuse me of instigate secessions of China. So this kind of thing, of course, as usual, is based on the very groundless accusation, and I don't think that it's true and fair to judge me saying I'm a secessionist, because I never ever say I work for independence of Hong Kong, of course. But I do criticize the regime, the CCP regime, because it's inhumane to govern the people. So that's why I'm on target, and that is a proof that after national security law, they would suppress the dissent. So now, in this situation, I'm a political fugitive now, and even before a few days of this car, the arrest warrant and the issue from the state media, CCTV, I felt I've been followed. And one of the very prominent activists in exile, Ray Wong, and in Germany, he came to London to meet me. We already felt we have been followed. And even exactly the date, when I just finished the protest outside the Chinese embassy in London, and when I finished the meal with my friends around there, and And I just realized that I got a message for it by my friends on the news saying I was put on the wanted list. And afterwards, I already feel that even a team of suspicious people follow me. And that's kind of things I feel I've been monitored and I've been told. And even some kind of like social media or something that would be tapped. And even a few days ago, actually, it's like yesterday that I received a threat letter, a threatening letter, and the title saying that the Chinese agent is coming to get me back. So this kind of the letters trying to threaten me. So that's kind of the new situation. So far, especially after national security law, and I felt that they're quite determined to execute this law. And even you can see that this kind of the law would be beyond their jurisdiction, and to charge almost everyone, not just Hong Kong citizens. If you can see, one of the citizens on the warrant list is even the American citizens. And so these kind of things, I think, is not a matter only to Hong Kong people, but even all of us, and even you, audience, who listen to this kind of the program.
By the way, if you can't say anything, if you can't say something because it's too risky, just say rather not comment. We fully understand. I wanted to ask you as well, because you've been one of our guest speakers at our 6th annual Patriotic Club conference recently. Links will be available in the description below. How did the life, or well, you described how did your life change, but how did the situation in Hong Kong change as a result of this law?
Well, in Hong Kong, absolutely, that you can see, this kind of the sweeping national security law, even the process is not legitimate, because that's it circumvent and even supersede the legislatures in Hong Kong, and that they omit, and that they didn't listen to the voice of the local people. So that they enforce and arch this kind of like the draconian law through the National People's Congress, but de facto it's a rubber stamp. They never ever try to object and oppose any kind of the law and act proposed by the government. Never. So this kind of things when they implement this law in Hong Kong, and you can see there has no any means of freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, and you can just simply wave the flag or chant a slogan or even write an online statement on social media, and then you could be detained, you could be arrested, you could be charged and accused of any reason that, you know, mentioned of national security law. So that's why I would feel in Hong Kong that has no any freedom at all now. And even for media, it's becoming harder and harder to find anyone within Hong Kong to speak out. Is because that they would be a little bit afraid. That's why I need to take course, because I keep receiving the media's in the field and I keep criticizing the CCP. That's why I'm now on the wanted list. So I would feel that the people would feel very paranoid and nervous and depressed, because the most depressing thing is that if the people experience usually a limit of freedom, although limit but still freedom, and now that's the curtailing the freedom bit by bit. You will feel that people are very unhappy with that, and then they will try their way. If they get benefit from this kind of the economic system, they get richer sooner, and then they can leave this kind of the hometown sooner. But however, you can still see and many people, they're very loyal to this kind of the hometown. They still wanted to stay, and because they think they're belonging to here. So that's why they would just insist until the last minute. And you can see a few days ago that and over hundreds of policemen, they raid the pro-democracy media Apple Daily's office building. And it made me think of like in Nazi Germany previously, they raped any media who safeguard the freedom of press and to criticize the regime. And it's so horrible. And they raid for, they search this kind of the office building for 8 hours and using over several hundreds of police force. And they claim, the police force claimed that's because why they sent so many policemen to do it is because that they want to keep to not to disturb the journalists to keep doing their works. But it's so they just simply lie about it shamelessly, because even several hundreds of policemen raid this car of the office, but still they spend 8 hours, almost one day, one working day of it. And you can see that's arrest a management board team of the Apple Daily and one of the prominent tycoons of media, Jeremy Lai, have been arrested. And also even one of the famous activists, Andreas Chow, and also several of my friends that Wilson Lee have been arrested. So you can see that they would cause any means and as a legal weapon to attack on our political dissidents and our allies and friends who love freedom and democracy. So they wanted to send this kind of the chilling effects to most of the mass public in Hong Kong, not trying to go on the street anymore, not trying to criticize the government anymore. If you cross the line, which the line would never know where is it, and then they would detain us for any reason. So I couldn't find an excuse saying that there has two system anymore, or Hong Kong politically has any difference with mainland China. So that's kind of things now happening in Hong Kong. That's why so meaningful for us, like the activists in exiles now, need to speak up for them, because they have no freedom to speak anymore. Or if they speak, they need to be prepared that the next minute that the police would knock their door. So that is a way why we keep speaking out, because we can't say when we got the asylum overseas and then we would just like to be cooling down and try to back to normal. If so, I would just feel so sorry for my fellow men. So I just keep to take that course. Even now I have been put on the warrant list and always have been harassed by some of the agents overseas from China.
I want to ask you as well about what drives you, why you are still fighting for free Hong Kong. Is it not better to just lead a normal life somewhere, safe, have a career abroad and a family? And why do you take the risk?
It's because that's my people also are suffering. It's because that's the things never end and haven't been end. So we wanted to still fighting for democracy. Is that because now we're free? And that's we have more duty to help my fellow men to push for pro-democracy movement further, because they have no chance now. So that's my belief, and that's why I need to cut tie with my family and still continues, because that the CCP put me into that way is because that's the people, they feel they cannot tolerate any freedom could be suppressed and deprived it. So I respect it. I've been touched and I've been asked, and that's like a call for me to still to fighting.
I also want to ask you about this method that the communists have of slowly erosion into the liberties and freedoms. We call it, and I'm sure you know, the method of slowly cooking the frog, so you won't notice that it's ended up in boiling water and cooked to death. We see the same process here in Poland as well, but most people are not aware of it. What would you say to Poles to wake them up to this process that the communists are using to slowly, gradually take away our freedoms?
Yes, exactly. So now Hong Kong, what Hong Kong have been treated would be the same to Poland, because what I heard, what I saw, is that Poland now is still and multidimensional have been affected by the CCP, including telecommunications, 5G networks, schools, or, you know, like infrastructures and etc. have been gradually influenced by Chinese capital. But we need to think twice, because every money spent by China in Poland, they have their political hinder agenda. It means that they would exert their political influence after they discover the money. Although they just pretend that it's just business, it's business, politics is politics. But based on the ideology of CCP, never. All the things were about politics. So that's why the Five Eyes Alliance, and even in the UK after pandemic, after national security law, they squeezed Huawei out. And they getting more wary about any Chinese investment in the UK or around the world. So I do hope that Poland could wake up, because Poland has a full history, have been suppressed by the totalitarian regime. So they should be, I mean, Poland should be even more cautious, because your guys, your fellow men had experienced why and how suffering of this kind of regime will be.
We have published a letter to our president, Polish President Andrzej Duda, calling him to condemn the CCP and make a clear declaration of support for Hong Kongers. He hasn't done anything along those lines. He haven't condemned the regime or haven't expressed a clear support of the side of Hong Kong. How does it make you feel that you haven't received the support from our president, and what would you say to him?
Well, I do hope that your honorable country's president could stand with Hong Kong people, stand with the human rights, because we're all humankind, we are the same. And actually, Poland will be facing a similar situation just like Hong Kong. But at this moment, you could be seduced by Chinese capitals and investment, because you were focusing on the short-term benefits and interests to getting to be richer and to boost your own country's economy for short-term. But the hindering cost would be very massive and huge. Remember that this kind of COVID-19 and pandemic actually is raging from China, and it caused the economy around the world massively. And even in the UK, that's still facing recession, the most serious recession for the past 300 years, based on the estimation by the Bank of England. So it would be the same for Poland. Well, I heard that's still very serious situation now, and it's actually harming the economy. So it still need to remember that why we need to be worried about the Chinese investment, because previously we always thought that's because we even can get some benefit from it. But now you can see that's all you need to pay back to China because of the virus. And even more than that is that your people very hard to fight for democracy, and now fortunately and finally established the presidential democracy at the end of the day. And you can't just turn it back to the communist rule, and it just can't be affected by the new expanding totalitarian regime. It could be very dangerous. So I do hope that the president could wake up, and that the people can give much more pressures to wake up and to change this kind of the government, to change their policy.
I have a personal question, Simon. What gave you strength when you were tortured by the communists, by the CCP regime, after you've been arrested, to not give up? Is there a spiritual source that was giving you the strength and the courage to keep fighting?
Yes. I think that's the faith is very important for me. Especially when that time during the detention, they put me into the personal cell. That is solitary confinement. I can't, and I was not allowed to communicate with everyone, including inmates. So gradually, that's kind of the isolation would drive you mad. So you need to always talk with myself. So at that time, I'm a Christian. So faith is important. That's I keep praying. I keep talking with the God and saying that please give me power and make me to feel conscience and to bring me back the mentality that I keep fighting to maintain rational and to think about next day or next day how could I deal with this kind of the tortures and interrogations? So it's quite painful, but only faith, and that strong faith for you, for us, that even if we face this predicament and difficulties, we can get it through. So Christianity and even the faith is so important. So if we can get this kind of the spirit, even we need to be ideal. It's not just realistic to saying that now China, now that the CCP is getting more and more powerful, so we need to be kowtowing to them. No, remember, Christian, thousands of years ago, they also persecuted by Rome. That's because they have a faith. And now we can see Christianity is the major force to influence the values and even culture of the humankind as well. So that's why I always encourage that Poland need to stand up to the principle and the value they believe. And that is kind of the value also matching with the Christianity.
And just on the topic of Christians there, I wanted to ask you, how did the Christians in Hong Kong behave during this whole long-term protests? Are they avoiding politics and sort of hiding in their churches, what a lot of Christians do? Or do they, and don't want to choose sides, or do they support the movement, support the freedom movement and voicing their voices loudly, also in the political arena?
Yes. Actually, from the traditional politics of Hong Kong, based on the colonial system, that they would have several privilege for the public recognizable or well established churches, like in the UK, like Church of England, etc., and that they can have automatically have a seat in House of Lords, etc. And it would be similar in Hong Kong that some very well established bishop or priest that they can have a vote to vote for the chief executive, etc. So they have some kind of the privilege. So most of the people would thought that Christian would be more conservative because that they can be protected by this kind of undemocratic system. However, we are quite surprised, and people will feel very grateful for most of the Christian. Is that because they quite support the protest, and they even wanted to change this government system. Even this government system actually grants a bit more privilege for them. It's because that's the Christian, they have more duty to fight for the social injustice, and then they see police brutality, and then they see this kind of the undemocratic system violate and abuse the human rights. So they stand up. And you can see previously last year in the anti-extradition bill protest that you can see lots of people, they chant the slogan about Christianity, and also that they even sing the Christian religious song. So that's kind of things, because it's so important, because the people that are getting depressed, especially those frontliners on site, they're getting depressed. And they feel very nervous and paranoid. They need to be a bit more relaxed. They need to get support mentally. So that's why the Christian, that they just went on the street and give the mental support and even gave the faith to those protesters to keep going on. Oh, that is so important. And more importantly, you can see that lots of the churches, they provide a sanctuary to the protesters. If the protesters, they're chasing by the police, and then the church will open the door and let the protesters come to have a sanctuary to hide for a while. And that kind of thing is so thankful, the people in Hong Kong so thankful for the churches, because that's they're saving the next generation of Hong Kong. And churches in Hong Kong, they're very rich, they're wealthy, and sometimes they could be conservative, but at this kind of critical moment, they stand with the Hong Kong people. So we are very grateful, is because they never ever mind that they could be in the vested interest groups. They could be the elites and standing with the government. But no, they stand up to their principle and standing with the people.
Simon, thank you so much for speaking with us today, despite the obvious risks involved. And we will be praying for strength for you and other brave people of Hong Kong in their fight against the murderous CCP regime, And we're also waiting for the day when not just Hong Kong, but also mainland China will become free of the CCP.
Yes, definitely. We still keep that faith and we can work and fight together for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Simon, for being with us. This was Simon Cheng, the founder of Haven Assistance and pro-democratic movement activist. Thank you for being with us today. My name was Ivan Belostenko for Against ITV. Thank you and God bless.